Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy, happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get energized and powered up with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so it is always wonderful to be in your company as we get powered up and energized together for another week. So looking at the calendar, today is, I believe, April 2nd. Yes, so today is April 2nd, 2024. And as you can already tell, we are now into the fourth month of the year. So I hope that your plans, your goals are going swimmingly well. But if not, this is where we step by every week to remind ourselves to continue to work on those goals, whether you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to go back to school, you're trying to change jobs, whatever your personal goals are. This is our accountability partner. This is where we stop by every week to remind ourselves that we ought to be working on those goals. So I'm always happy to be here with you to spend this time powering through the week and working on those goals. As always, we have another power-packed hour for you. Our interview this week is going to be on generational wealth. What are we doing to leave a legacy of wealth for our children? Many times we think of our children's future and we think about just funding their college, but there is so much more to creating a legacy, a financial legacy for our children. So we had two powerful guests join us recently to speak on generational wealth. So I want to bring you that pre-recorded interview. As always, we start off the week on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? I am always grateful for the weather. I'm always grateful for life, my friends, and my family. And as always, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, just remember that you woke up today. So again, welcome to the program. Welcome to our Power Up Hour for this week, the first week of April. I hope that you will enjoy the interview that we're about to present to you on the importance of generational wealth. And then stay tuned for after the interview as we talk about our tip of the day. So let us get started with a song. I believe I will just go ahead and play you a number from Exile One. So enjoy this number as we get ready to get energized for the program and we get powered up for the week ahead. So enjoy this number and then we'll go straight into our interview and then the rest of the program. Stay tuned.
Rosetta!
Venezuela,
Rencontré pas mal de señorita. Mais chaque fois, mais j'ai petit grosita. Mon y a envie fou pour retourner là-bas à Venezuela. Yo te quiero, señorita. Apakah kapan kita kayu pemula Rosita? Benaka, benaka, idame la cosa benaki. Mani yo envi fuku gwetu le laba a Venezuela. 2 weeks I spent down in Venezuela. Maluka bansa bolo da señorita. But each time I remember little Rosita. I got the mother there to get right back there in Venezuela. Help me, brother.
Oh, Rosita.
Yo te quiero, yo te quiero, señorita.
Oh, Rosita.
Apagaga, give me down, famuela, Rosita. Apakah kapan kita kayu pemula? Dame, 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 dame la cosa. Ani yo mau vivir por tu lado a Venezuela. Yo te quiero, señorita. Apakah kapan kita kayu pemula? Tocarimo, 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 señor. Ani yo mau vivir por tu lado a Venezuela.
Dominica, do you need a passport, birth certificate, or you need relocation services? Then look no further. Cymex is here for you. All your document renewal, document retrieval, and relocation services. Convenient, professional, and stress-free. Contact Cymex today. Visit us at www.simexx.org. Again, www.simexx.org, or call or WhatsApp us at area code 767-316-7752. Again, 767-316-7752. Cymex is your one-stop shop for document renewal, document retrieval, and relocation services. Cymex, your homeland connection, bringing Dominica to
I think
you.
Almost everyone had some kind of situation in life where they realized that, hey, you know what? I lack money for something, whether it is for education or probably it is a car, or you asked your parents for something and, you know, I mean, even they themselves wasn't able to actually just give it to you as you pleased, right? And at that time, it can be something that you could really get into your feelings for and really feel that, hey, you know what? You have to do something about that so that you just don't feel that way anymore, right? Now, I mean, growing up, a lot of people tend to preach that money is something that is bad. And as you've said at the beginning of the show, it's like a lot of people shy away from speaking about money. But it's a very important topic to introduce your kids to. You don't want them to go into the real world and realize, oh, shoot, I need money for the real world, right? It's actually a necessity. Now, you'll always hear people saying money isn't everything. Nothing is everything. Love isn't everything. Hope isn't everything. Faith isn't everything. Same thing for money, right? But it is a tool to get you to wherever you need to get to. For example, Dr. Simone, you currently have your PhD, right? That was something that money was a requirement to achieve, right? You know, tuitions had to be paid, probably needed to be at a resident, and so forth, right? So you basically have the most respected, highest level of education that money was an essential tool for, right? So now, basically, that was something that, I mean, it was really just common sense at the point when I realized it, that, hey, you know what, if I need money for all the things that I actually want in life, and just for me not to actually go and bother parents, family members, and even friends for money, because, I mean, it's kind of like something that's embarrassing to even ask for, or less to just have a conversation about it, right? So really and truly, I think money is something that we have to, as a people, and not just Black people, because I noticed that's something that's with probably every race, that money just tends to be a sensitive topic. And I think we just need to normalize making it more common to have those kinds of discussion, you know, just basically to teach about money, you know, and what it can be used for and how it can be used the right way, you know, using a budget or a cash flow statement to basically just manage it properly and use it right to build your life.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Chris?
Yeah, Felix, you very eloquently described that concept. I like the way you did that.
Thank you.
And part of my reasoning, even behind writing a book, is around that same topic, right? Money's often a very taboo subject to speak about in households. It's also considered a concept that maybe is beneath, you know, the education of children. So it's an adult, it's an adult thing. And I think the negative effect to that is children go through life really not learning about it, right? If you don't have any formal introduction to it, and oftentimes the conversations you hear about money in households are negative, right? I can't afford that. We don't have enough. It costs too much, right? These very negative connotations about money breed negative results when children are actually handed money. So yes, part of my reasoning behind writing a book was to sort of reframe the conversations, show children, you know, how money can be handled from a young age, and give parents a solid gateway to have more positive conversations with their child about money. And then I look at my own journey, you know, and it really started when I started working. Right. I get into, you know, what is, you know, considered the rat race or the 9 to 5. And I'm, you know, 21 years old. And I say, well, what, I have to do this for the rest of my life. This is, you know, this is, I don't know how I feel about this. And I start looking at the bigger picture. Right. How can I fast track myself either to A, retirement, or B, how can I create a better or more solid foundation for myself and my future children? And that's sort of where my investing journey started to begin. And that's where I started to actually educate myself a little bit more about money and how best to utilize it. So I think it's pivotal that we have these conversations with our children about money, because if we don't, they are destined to repeat some negative cycles that have already been ingrained into their DNA, because You know, we've as minority groups, we have been disenfranchised. And because of that, we're always playing catch up. And, you know, when you're playing catch up, you end up inadvertently spending your money on the wrong things. You're spending your money on what you think will make you happy, whether that be material items. You know, it's we don't have the ability to have delayed gratification. And that lack of delayed gratification comes from wanting something now to make me feel better because I know I don't really have what I want. And that is, you know, potentially enough cash in the bank, enough, you know, assets. So I think when we change that conversation, when we shift the perspective, we allow ourselves to raise children who have, you know, a better perspective on money.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct, because I think most of us can agree with you that the first time we really started thinking about money is when we got our first job. And what did we begin looking forward to? Buying stuff, mm-hmm. right? Because we equated money with the ability to buy all the things we wanted when we were younger, that our parents said, oh, you can't have this, you can't have this. So what did we do? We went out and we bought stuff. Nobody taught us, because, you know, and we cannot necessarily blame our parents, because they themselves were not educated in terms of financial literacy. But we think, what can we buy? What can we buy? Instead of thinking, how can I invest this money? How can I build wealth? And how can I create generational wealth so that the next generation coming up after me will not have to be financially deprived the way I was financially deprived? So we have to have these conversations. We have to stop and have these conversations, because it always seems like the excuse is, you know, I'm busy, I have too much to do, I don't have the time to have these conversations. But maybe the truth of the matter is, we are shy because we have not educated ourselves. And now there are so many resources on the internet. We have people in our community like Chris and Felix who can provide the education. So I also hope we can talk towards the end of the program about the potential of doing some webinars, the potential of doing some more Facebook Lives, so that we continue the process of educating our people so that we become more financially literate. But let us start at the beginning, the very, very beginning. And
could I add something? Yeah, so yes. Simone, I just want to give you some flowers, you know, because the thing is, as you correctly said, the internet is a marvelous tool. And Basically, it's something that we can use to create change. So The flowers I want to give you is actually taking the initiative of, you know, making that change and basically having the voices play to actually fall on the ears that need it to actually enact that change for a better Dominica.
You know,
necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we need. So thank you for that, Felix. But let us start at the beginning, because I want us to look at financial literacy at every level. So let us talk first about the what can we do when we have young children. So we're going to look at the younger children, the children in primary school. Well, here we say middle school. So I'll kind of go back and forth with the terminology. I'm not sure what you guys use in Canada, but we will say primary school, middle school, and then high school and college. Because I want to make sure that we are covering every aspect of this financial planning for our children's education and also for building generational wealth. So if we have a parent who has a young child, what are some of the thoughts? And Chris, feel free to integrate the book as we're having the conversation as well, because I'm sure that you have chapters in the book that cover different aspects. And you can also feel free for our people on YouTube and Facebook, if you can show us the book when you're talking as well. So again, if you're not on Facebook and YouTube and you want to see the book that Chris will be showing, you can jump on Push Past 10, or you can jump on Q95 FM Radio on Facebook, or on YouTube, Q95 FM Radio, if you would like to see the book as well. So let's start the conversation. We have a parent who has a young child. What are some of the options that parent should be looking at in terms of creating that generational wealth, in terms of funding that child's education?
Felix, you want to?
Yeah, I could go ahead. No problem. Okay, so what I would say is just that basically starting by designating an account specifically just for that child, you know, so that way you know that every single dollar that you put in that account is just for that child. Now, I like to, one way that I like to look at dollars is as being as your dollars, they're an army, and each dollar is a single soldier.
Yes.
And what you're doing, yeah. And basically what you're doing is every single dollar, you basically teach those dollars to go and recruit more soldiers, right? So that it actually builds. And that is some way, that is basically the way you do generate wealth. So with that account, you have to make sure it's an account that by the most basic means is something that is going to earn a substantial interest, you know, amount. So whatever tool that you have available in whichever country you are, you know, in Canada here, we have what is called an RESP, where you can actually invest that money and the government does provide some kind of assistance in the way of a grant just because you're putting money into it. I'm not aware of any accounts like that in Dominica, but I know that Dominica does have accounts that do earn interest and also dividends at like the credit unions. So if you actually have it in an account like that, then you basically have your soldiers recruiting more soldiers for you without you having to worry about anything else except just making a contribution to it on a frequent basis. Now, as far as frequent basis, what I always advise my clients to do is set up an automatic contribution, because the thing is, you cannot trust your mind to actually always go and manually contribute that money into the account. That just won't happen. Every Friday, you will not do that. You'll probably end up in a bar and totally forget it one of those Fridays, right? But if it's automatic, then, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. It happens, and it's earning that interest there for you, right? And for your child. The other thing to do is when your child actually reaches an age where they do understand proper English and they have, you know, like they have a good level of common sense, you could actually just show them what you're actually doing for them as well. Because that way you're actually introducing them to money, right? Seeing what, okay, they, from that age, they're seeing, okay, this is what mom is doing, this is what dad is doing for me, and this is the reason behind what they're doing. Basically, as you know, kids actually learn by example and they imitate. They will actually take those habits, right? If they see you doing that every Friday, they're going to take that as a habit for whatever else that they may need. Believe it or not, our kids are actually very smart, and sometimes even smarter than us. Because I truly believe if our kids are not smarter than us, we actually did a bad job, really and truly. You know, so the earlier that you can actually transfer your knowledge and wisdom to your kids is the better for them. You'll put them ahead of other kids who don't actually have that wisdom. And the thing is you're actually starting to make your child be a proper human to society, because they're going to be someone of value growing up. And the thing with being someone of value is that money always follows people of value. All right? This is truly important. People of value, people with a skill, people with the education level that is required on the marketplace, they are the ones that money follow, right? This is not stuff I'm making up. This is stuff that is in our eyes. If someone is an electrician, there's going to be a day that someone you know has an electrical problem, boom, right away, that electrician is needed for their services, right? Same thing as a plumber. Look, we have the boss here in the back making sure that everything is running right with the radio station. Because of the value that he can provide, he's there sitting there and actually looking over us and making sure, you know, everything is moving smoothly. Right? And same thing with you, Chris, as well, right? Look at all the knowledge that you were able to put into a book, right? That is something where eventually you might even decide you're going to make another book because the demand for this book was so high, right? And people say, hey, you know what? We didn't get enough. We want more. Speak on another topic in relation to money, right? You're in IT as well. Your company didn't hire you because you didn't have any value. There's something that you could provide, right? And they will pay you for your worth. This is something that we all know, but it's like we just don't talk about it enough to actually have it downloaded in the subconscious of our children so that they actually digest that and grow with it and become that, you know, valuable type of a person. So I think the account is important, but also the human that you're actually developing in your children is super important to attracting that wealth for their future.
And I want to come to you, Chris, but I also think we have to change our internal dialogue when it comes to money. Because I think too many of us think, I need to make more money. I need to make more money. And we're thinking, I need to make more money because we're thinking we need to spend more money. When in fact, we should be thinking, I should use the money I have to generate more money, which is what Felix was essentially saying when he was saying his dollars are soldiers, that he wants his soldiers to go out and recruit other soldiers. So rather than always thinking, how, what can I spend? I want to get a salary increase at work because I want to spend on XYZ. I want to upgrade my phone. I want to get a fancier car. I want to buy a more expensive house. Instead of thinking, you know, I want a raise so I can spend more. Yes, you may deserve a raise, but maybe we should be thinking, I want a raise because I want to invest in XYZ. I want this money to make me more money. So we have to change that internal dialogue where we think of money in terms of its spending power, but we don't think of money in terms of its ability to generate more money, because we are investing that money maybe in property. We're investing that money. Maybe we have a friend who's starting a small business and we know it's going to be successful. So we have to change that internal dialogue in terms of what is the purpose of money. Is the purpose of money to spend more money, or is the purpose of money to generate more money so that we can eventually create that generational wealth to put our kids on a better foundation than what we started on? So Chris, I want to come to you. And as you're commenting, making your comments, I want us also to start having that conversation about how do we teach children about money? Because I get the impression that your book is a tool meant to teach children about money. So how do we start the conversation? What age do we start? What do we teach them? How do we teach them? So a lot to unpack right there.
Yeah, so I mean, Felix, you touched on it. I think we underestimate how smart our children are. The conversations about money can literally start at any age. If you look at any, you know, whether it be athlete, musician, anyone who really achieves the highest level of greatness, it's come from habit. It's come from starting something at a very young age and continuously doing it for a long period of time. And that is no different than investing, right? So I think when we implore our children to have, you know, that understanding of money from a young age, the sky's the limit for them. And, you know, I look at my nephew, right? My nephew, he's now 5 years old, but from the time he was four, he would be by my side when I'm trading. So I'm on my investment platform, and I'm, you know, investing in futures. And at 4 years old, he can tell me which direction the stock is moving up or down, right? Some adults can't do that. So when I see, you know, a little message like that, I'm able to give a four-year-old, and he's able to say, you know, the red candle is down and the green candle is up. Sometimes I could ask an adult that, they wouldn't know that direction, right? So right there, that gave me enough confidence to say, well, you know what, this four-year-old child understands. If he understands, what can't I teach him, right? It's very easy for our children to pick up bad habits or bad things. It's immensely around them. But if you put the right things in front of them, they will adopt them. And, you know, as Felix has mentioned, we are the example for our children, right? So if we are leading by example, if our children see us spending indiscriminately, if they see us constantly shopping, eating food, eating out, buying whatever, that's the example that we're setting, right? And I think definitely in the Black community, and this potentially is by design, but there's a message that, you know, money is the root of all evil, right? I don't believe that. I believe that bad people will do bad things. Good people will do good things with their money, right? Having money or wealth does not make you a bad person. If anything, when the right people do get money, they are allowed to pour back into their community, pour back into their family, and create that generational wealth. So one of the things I think for me is very important, especially now in a very technology society, we are also losing the cash, right? We're losing the ability to hand cash, transacting cash with one another. And when children don't see cash, what is money, right? Mm-hmm. It's numbers behind a screen. They don't even have a concept of cash anymore. So I think a very important practice is, if you want to teach your children about money, give them physical cash so they have something that is tangible that they can associate dollars to. You know, kids now, they have cell phones and they have video games, and they have the video, they have the ability to make in-app purchases in those video games with the click of a button. You know, it could be $50, it could be $100. They don't understand money. It doesn't mean anything to them. So you have to give them tangible cash so that they can actually feel, see, and use that cash in reality and not in this sort of digital world that we are living in. So I have a copy of my book here. Mm-hmm. I think everyone can see, like, lit it to the camera correctly.
Read us the title for everyone on the radio.
Yeah, so the title is Wesley Wants a T-Rex. And it's actually, Felix, you mentioned it. So it's a series that I'm creating. And the series title is The Little CEOs, which stands for Child Entrepreneurial Officer. So I wanted to, in making this book, I never saw a child of color being able to create cash in a children's book. It's just something that I hadn't seen. And I said, you know what, there's an opportunity here. And I can make, many of these books so children have an example of someone who looks like them spending cash and using cash in the right way. And that's sort of where I came up with this series. So I said, how can I make, a book that is fun, relatable, digestible for children that they'll understand and that a parent can now draw an example from, right? As much as we want to teach our children about money, it is a little bit of a foreign concept, right? It's not very fun. It's hard to engage with them about money. A lot of the investing principles are from an adult's perspective. So if we can break it down on a more simpler level, with the same concept that you're using for adults, but the messaging is one of a child can adopt. So my first book here, I use dinosaurs. You know, children seem to just love dinosaurs. I don't know why, but they do. So I use dinosaurs as sort of a gateway into speaking to children about money. And then, I have other books to follow up. I think my second book will probably be around superheroes. So making the messaging around money in an easy, digestible, relatable way, and showing children that, being a entrepreneur is a viable career path. And it can start at any age. You don't have to be an adult. It's not a concept that is reserved for adults. A child could be an entrepreneur too, with the right, mindset, with the right, foundation, upbringing from their parents. Really, they can, achieve whatever they put their mind to.
Yeah. And what is the age range for this first book?
So, I would say, my nephew's 5 years old and I read the book to him and he understands it. So I would say anywhere between, if you're between 4 to 6, you probably have your parent read it to you. And maybe 7 to 11, you can have your child probably read it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned dinosaurs, but just give us a general premise of what we can expect in the book. Do you have tools? Do you have stories? So just kind of tell us, what can we expect in the book in terms of presenting it to our children?
Yeah. So, most books that I've seen, if I've seen or encountered any educational books for children, they've been very, I would say, basic in terms of just very, how do I explain, investing means this and savings means that, but it's not an actual story. A child can't associate or relate to that. So my idea was create a normal children's story with the concept of money baked into it. So in this book, there's a young boy, he has, an obsession or a fascination with dinosaurs, and he plays with dinosaurs with his grandmother. His grandmother gives him a very small bit of money to go to the store to buy a toy. When he's at the store, he realizes, I can't afford the actual toys that I want. So how am I going to get that? So that's where that sort of delayed gratification comes in. He could buy a cheaper toy or he could save to get the more expensive toy. So he goes on to essentially save his money. And then in saving his money, he realizes, he says, I have, $10, $15. I never had this much money before. I kind of like having money. So how can I purchase, the toy that I want while still retaining the wealth that I just earned or gained? And that's where his sort of entrepreneurial spirit ignites, and he figures out a way to use his passion to continue to make money while actually investing in the product he wants, purchasing the toy he wants, but also using that toy to now make money with his friends. So that's sort of a very simple story that, you know, a child can grasp. A parent can easily relate that story to children in a real life practice. And that was sort of my idea behind it.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic. So, Felix, I want to come to you as well. And this is a question for the panel. But we also, I'm telling you guys, the comments are coming in on Facebook quick and fast. So thank you, guys. Keep posting the comments. I will get to them. But Wallace, I like what you said about we must look beyond the U.S. and the Canada. Unfortunately, we could not get someone from Dominica to join this conversation. But if anybody is listening on the radio, if anybody is viewing us on Facebook or YouTube, and you have information pertaining to Dominica in terms of wealth management, wealth building, in terms of paying for school fees and education in Dominica, we would be more than happy to have you contribute to this conversation. But guys, here's the other thing I am thinking, right? Because when we look around, we see, again, change as the only constant. Because one of the things I'm noticing is that a lot of places now are cashless, right? You go to a lot of places now and they will only accept a debit or credit card. So what are the implications in terms of how do we teach our children about money when we are moving to a cashless society? So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm so happy you asked that question, because Chris was actually saying some things and it did spark that idea, you know, and it's kind of like a self-awareness thing for me, because you see, with money being cashless, where we don't have it in our hands, it's no longer tangible as it was before. It's like that kind of dropped the value of the money itself, you know, because when you, before, let's just say, for example, you were going to buy a vehicle, right? And you had to walk around with probably $5,000 in your pockets. You know, you fill up your two pockets or you hold like a whole bag suitcase with money, right? If you lost that suitcase, you know, it's like you lose your life. Mm-hmm. Right? You probably want to jump off a cliff or something. But now it's like that is something you could just write on a check, or you could just send that money electronically and so forth. And it's like you sending that money, you don't have that same like feeling, you know, when that money leaves, as opposed to like when you're handing off that bag.
Well, you don't have to see it, right? You don't even have to see the money move. You tap your debit card, you tap your credit card, the transaction's complete. You didn't see anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was realizing that to myself, that that's kind of dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the same time, it is like just a natural evolution. You know, we humans, we're always evolving, and that is just, you know, a natural evolution. Who knows? Money might even not even be numbers at some point, you know, mm-hmm. God knows, like whenever that will change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because the reason I said that is because now we have to, you know, many of us are not using online banking because, again, we are scared. You know, I knew one person, this was probably in 2004, and she had never used an ATM in her life, and she refused to learn.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think it puts the onus on us to learn so we can teach.
Go ahead. Exactly. You know, like one day it might even be just our fingerprint we have to like use to basically pay for a transaction, you know?
I mean, it's happening already. It's not here in North America yet, but if you look at, you know, some of the Asian countries, you can literally scan your face to pay. So they are obviously a little bit more advanced technologically than us, but you know, these things are coming. They can be very dangerous because, as you sort of mentioned, you lose that concept or that value of what am I actually doing. You know, one of the best things my father always taught me is to carry cash on you.
And he said,
you know, try not to use your debit or credit card because you lose track of how much you're spending. Mm-hmm. Right? If I have $200 and I spend $150, I know how much I have left.
100.
If I only use a debit card or a credit card, the spending can easily get out of control.
Exactly. Right?
You're not seeing, you don't go into your bank every transaction and then do the math calculation and see how much has come out of your bank. So I think that is a very dangerous thing. I think part of it may be intentional because we do live in a, you know, consumer economy where we're motivated, incentivized to spend our dollars on, you know, goods and services that are not in terms of that are not tied to wealth building. So I think a little bit of that is intentional to ensure that our dollars are going out and we're not retaining our cash. And it's very easy for children to fall victim to these new, you know, practices and principles on how cash is spent. So personally, for me, I know that I think as long as we have the opportunity to still do it, I think putting physical cash in your child's hand is very important. The sum or the amount doesn't matter. It's just something tangible that they can associate a dollar value to. And I think that goes a long way to them starting to say, you know what, this is that. And even what, you know, even if they do eventually transfer to only online or electronic, at least they have that foundation to build off of what something was. It's definitely a difficult concept to grasp. And I even had that sort of dilemma myself when I made the book, when I wrote the book. You know, as you can see on the title here, I don't know if you can see, but the young boy is holding a dollar bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was writing that, you know, I was actually speaking with my sister and she kind of mentioned, she's like, I don't even know if these children know what a dollar bill is.
True.
Point, but how do I tell the story about money without anything physical, right? So even in writing a simple children's book, my it got complicated, right? So
that is
a challenge for us.
Yeah, so I think we have to keep thinking in terms of the future, what the future will look like in terms of money. But for now, we will consider the fact that we still have cash money in circulation that we're discussing as well. Another thing I was thinking as we're having this conversation is what is the environment like in our homes in terms of money? I think it was you, Felix, that mentioned, are we only talking about money when we're talking about the things we cannot afford, the things we cannot do? Or are we having those healthy conversations where I think somebody on Facebook mentioned it, that we're giving our children an allowance and we're telling them, well, this is what you can afford and this is what you cannot afford? Because unfortunately, the negative side of what we are speaking about today is the fact that for many of us who grew up with nothing, as soon as we're able to afford, what do? We create entitled children where we just want to give them. So they never really learn the value of a dollar. So what is the culture? What is the environment like in your home with regards to money? Are we always talking about money in the negative, or are we finding positive ways to talk about money? So I think that is a conversation we also have to have with our children as well. That it's a healthy conversation. How do you have a healthy conversation about money?
Of course. Well, you see the person who mentioned the allowance, I think that person is onto something, because the thing is giving your kids an allowance is kind of like an introduction to, you know, for your kids to the money. So if it was me, what I would do is I would give them the allowance to first see what they would just naturally do with that money, because that actually kind of like make you learn even more about your kids, right? Tell them, okay, this is what mommy and daddy use to get your milk or your clothes and whatever, right? Look some of it. Let me see what you're doing with it, right? And take a look at how they go into what, like, just take a look at whatever they go into do with it. And then along the way, I think you should just give them some guidance. You can say, hey, you know what? Let's say your child name is Joe, right? Hey, Joe, I see that you bought chewing gum with your money, right? You spent all your money on chewing gum. The next week you got your allowance, you spent all your money on video games, right? And so forth. How about you try to, you know, like build it up for bigger things? Or you probably just ask them, okay, would you like to have a car like mom and dad one day? Or would you like to have, you know, be able to buy your own clothes, buy your own food, you know, the basic item? And that's kind of like where I actually wanted to mention something about what Chris mentioned earlier on, where he was saying that the little kid was able to save up money and basically was able to purchase whatever he wanted, right? And that kind of like sparked a bulb in him saying that, hey, I like this feeling. Because the thing is, it's not just about having the money itself, you know. Money actually gives you that feeling of independence, right? gives you that feeling of like you have some kind of control over your life, right? So the earlier we can actually have those kids manage their own money and just guide them through managing it, I think that is something that is critical. Now, just looking at kids, right? You know, kids like to play. Kids like games, they like to read and so forth, right? The funny thing is, the first time I ever played this game called Monopoly was just back in, I think it was in 2014. And you know, while playing that game, I was like, yo, why I never played this game before? Because I have to tell you, that game is life. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yep.
That game is life. You know, and see how it Monopoly is so real. It didn't have where you could end up in prison, you know.
Jail. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200.
Yeah. You know, exactly. So I think that is like one of those things where it's kind of like a simulation where we could introduce our kids to games like that, you know, books like what Chris has to offer, to start building their knowledge and skill around money, you know, and also with the allowance that builds everything around it, right? Because the best way to learn is really through experience. That's really the number one way, and also through the mistakes of others. So also just thinking of like when we talk about the negative connotations with what we do with our money, we have to kind of like humble ourselves in a way too, where it's that we don't hide our mistakes from our kids, because our kids can learn a lot from our mistakes. You know, like for example, you know, I saw in the comments too, someone asked about if we invest in the stock market. Mm-hmm. So I personally do, right? And I think that, you know, like there's millions of ways to make money. Chris did mention about investing in futures, right? There's you could have it, keep your money just in a savings account. Currently, there's what you call cryptocurrencies. There's also real estate. You know, there's so many different ways or so many different things you can put into your money to make it double, triple, quadruple, right? And it's basically just choosing something that you know, that you probably have a certain comfort level with, and start with it, learn it. I can tell you right now, you are going to lose money. As long as you're taking a risk with money, it is healthy to lose some of it. Because the thing is, I have to say, my losses has been my greatest lessons. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you say I make a profit, it's like I just there feeling myself and then I go and lose my profits. You know, that probably happened to everyone that doing, you know, some kind of proper investments, mm-hmm. right? And I think that is something where, see how Chris mentioned about his nephew too. Oh, this is so mm-hmm. awesome, because the thing is, man, Chris, because of you having those types of conversations with your nephew already ahead of the other four-year-olds.
And ahead of him too. He'll be ahead of him.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, if you even look at like fellas like Bill Gates and all of them, right? They always say you have to spend 10,000 hours to master any skill, yep. right? So if you start that at four, your 10,000 hours going to come so much sooner, right? Your nephew might end up being a 10-year-old millionaire, mm-hmm. you know, who I may have to seek financial advice from, right? You know? So it's just to say that, man, do not hide your mistakes from your kids, because the thing is, you learn from your mistakes. Just imagine what they would learn from it as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And just basically give them the tool to use themselves, guide them through it, always provide guidance, do not shame them. You know, it's easy for us to shame people that we love, you know? You know, like our kids, our spouses, family members and all that. But really and truly, we have to just be mindful to communicate in a, you know, in a loving and caring way to just foster that knowledge and to have them be open to receiving that knowledge from us. Right? Mm-hmm. Those are all the crucial things I think that's relative to money as well.
Yeah, and I think we have the luxury here in the US and in Canada to talk about investing. But I also think for our brothers and sisters in Dominica, that might not necessarily be an option because, you know, they're not in the US and Canada. But we also have to think along the lines of how can we earn more money? We know that it is very difficult to find work in Dominica, and it is one of the reasons a lot of people, you know, they will bow to the whims and fancies of the powers that be, because if you lose your job, that's it. it's very difficult to find work in Dominica. But I also want us to be thinking of, along the lines of, how do we earn money? First of all, how can our children earn money? So what additional chores? And that's the system I've implemented it at our house. Right. So your basics are free. Right. You're entitled because you were born into this family. You're entitled to food, shelter, clothing, education. But everything else you want, you got to earn it. Right. So what can you do? What can we teach our children to earn money? Right. Even if we are strapped for money and we can offer them a dollar for maybe, you know, sweeping the kitchen after dinner, putting the dishes away after dinner. We have to teach our children the value of money. But even for us as adults in Dominica, we also have to think of, what are my skills? What skills I have besides that 9-to-5 job that I am doing, besides the job that I am doing, maybe working in a restaurant, maybe working in an office, doing a 9-to-5, working in a clothing store, working as a plumber, working as a professional, an accountant. What other skills do I have to offer? So maybe I'm an accountant in a business, but maybe I can use additional time to be a private accountant. Maybe I can teach people about accounting.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Been listening to a pre-recorded, the first portion of our pre-recorded interview on the importance of generational wealth. And so next week, I will bring you the second portion of this particular interview. So again, just a reminder, as we get ready to plan for our children's future, the different steps we can take to do so. So as we move along, as we continue with the program, we've been reading out of Push Past 10 for the last few weeks in terms of our tip of the day, the tip of the week. But for today, what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a pause and just pretty much explain to you the basic concept of Push Past 10. So what I have found in continuing this work is that for many of us, we are successful in certain parts of our life. So you may have achieved your education, you may have achieved, being strong in your religious faith. But what we don't realize is that many of these achievements can be transferred. The skills that we use to achieve those goals can be transferred to other areas of our life where we are struggling. So for example, if you're struggling to lose weight, we can use the same skills that we use to earn our degrees. So when times get tough, we did not give up on studying. We may have failed the test, but we came back and was able to rebound from that. And also, we were able to find ways to power through, to get energized using music, to get energized. So that is the basic concept of Push Past 10, which many of us don't think about. So the reason that the book is called Push Past 10 is because of the significance of 10 minutes. Because research actually shows that if you're able to do an activity for at least 10 minutes, you will become energized, you will find momentum, and you will be able to power through for an hour and a half, even up to 2 hours and beyond. So that is the idea. Push Past 10 came about because, I'm a runner. And it is always frustrating. The first 10 minutes of running, my body wants to stop. I do not want to do this. But I started realizing that if I allowed myself to push past those first 10 minutes, that I was able to do over an hour. And I realized that this also applied, because at the time when I started thinking about this, I was also doing my PhD. And of course, you know, you have days when you simply do not want to study, you don't want to do the assignments, you don't want to do the research. And I realized the same concept applied, that if I just committed myself to doing 10 minutes, then I was able to power through and get past the 10 minutes into an hour, 2 hours, and beyond. So it clicked in my brain. And during the pandemic, I said, well, why not write a book? Actually, I wrote the book in 2019, but published it January 1st of 2020. And then what happened? COVID happened. So of course, we've been putting a lot of the information on the internet. My audience has grown exponentially to now over 7,000 followers on Facebook and an audience reach of over 800,000 people on a monthly basis. So the concept has certainly taken off, and we've provided a lot of variety on Facebook in terms of the content. So we want to continue growing. We want to continue carrying the word. And one of the things I'm thinking about doing is reaching an even larger audience by speaking to folks that are heavily involved in churches. So if you have a particular church that you're affiliated with, I want you to reach out to me at pushpast10@gmail.com, pushpast10@gmail.com, because I think it is important that we get the message to all our brothers and sisters. A lot of people are struggling with their health and their wellness. So I am very determined, very committed to being able to reach even larger audiences, to get the message to them that you have achieved goals in the past and you have the skills to achieve the goals that you're struggling with as long as you refuse to give up. So again, if you are affiliated with a church, a youth group, a women's group, a men's group, any particular organization which might benefit from this information, I want you to reach out to me at pushpast10@gmail.com. So I thank you in advance for your assistance as we continue to spread the good news that we should not give up on our health and wellness, because I see a lot of people who have given up on their health and their wellness. I see them posting things on Facebook where they're showing, you know, burgers and french fries and putting the caption, big girl season, fat girl season. And to me, in my mind, that simply says you've given up. Right? You've given up on trying to live a healthy lifestyle, and so you're just going to give in to whatever craving you have at a particular moment. But all is not lost. All is not lost. And I think as a community, we can support and encourage people to be able to push past any problems that we're having in terms of being consistent. So I want to thank you again for being here. I want to thank you again for being a part of the Push Past 10 Nation, being a part of our movement to get energized and powered up for the week ahead, and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. If you tuned in late and this was your first time joining us, we want to remind you that this is Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone on TDN Radio, and we're here every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time to get powered up and energized for the week and to enjoy a great conversation, give you a tip of the week, enjoy some great music. So until next week, I want you to remember that your life story is your strength. The challenges you faced in the past have prepared you for the challenges that you face today. And remember to tap into your potential every day. Remember, stay strong, stay active, stay positive, and stay engaged. Until we meet right back here next week at the same time, you have yourself a productive week. Take care.